Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all who came out into the house of God this morning. I thank you, Father, that you are on the throne. And Father God, I know that I know that I know that every person that stepped foot into this church this day, you have a special blessing for them. And each one of them, Father God, have a calling from you. And I'm asking God that you just saturate them with your glory today. That your angelic host be here and minister to them, Father. And your Holy Spirit, Father God, minister to them also. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you he was on the middle cross. But we thank you even more that he came down off of that cross. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just hearing God say the trials and the tribulations are going to get darker and darker. But it's not going to touch those who are covered by the blood of my son, Jesus. And God also promised that years ago that whenever all the darkness hit the land, that those who were walking close to him, he was going to protect. And if you read your word, you find out that God protected a lot of people in the word whenever things were going on. And it did not touch them. All right, I titled this Best for Last. It's a prophetic word God gave me. Daughter, 40 years of promises are now coming to pass. I am starting a new 40-year period and need to fulfill the last 40-year encounters. So God is cleaning up the last 40 years, but he's also into the new 40 years too. All the old has been done away with, and now we are on a journey of least resistance. Now I put down least resistance is a term that refers to a path or method that requires the least amount of effort, work, or opposition. It is often used metaphorically to describe the easiest or most straightforward way to achieve a goal or to solve a problem. So God said we are on a journey of least resistance, and that means we're going to sail on through, right? That's what I could add that anyhow. God said the enemy is finished in the lives of the true believers, and these are the ones that I have already earmarked to carry the torches to the lost generation. New converts will begin to pour into my true houses of worship. I have done away with the false churches. I am concentrating on those holding on to the truth at all cost. And the words God said, he told us he was shaking the churches, and that, you know, who was shaken was shook. And if you were, and you know, he's moving on. Whatever happened in those churches, he's no longer going to come back to these churches. If you didn't want God, then he's moved on. But if you wanted God, he's still moving amongst those churches. God said, my houses shall begin to hear explosions all over this land, and they shall hear the thunder become louder and louder as the days go forth. Wow, is what the new word will be. My people will be pronouncing wows all over the land at what their eyes see and their ears hear. Angelic visitation is everywhere. This will be the new normal. I'll be so excited when Deanna calls me and said, Pastor Barbara, the angel was in our room today. I just felt that in my spirit, you're going to be giving me a call saying that. And also, while I'm at it, I might as well tell you, God told me you're going to do a seminar like Catherine's doing, but it's going to be for the young people. So seek God's face. All right. The whiplash of Pharaoh will be felt no longer. Those who had ears to hear are hearing the sound of victory resonating all across this vast universe. The devil's through with us. He knows he can't defeat us. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So relax and allow heavenly wisdom to explode in your minds. And as the explosions occur, you'll be escalated into the newness of life that stands before, behind, and around you. And Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 talks about his ways and his thoughts. God said, you will be encircled with his newness and will remember the old no more. So it doesn't matter what happened to you in the past, you just won't even think about it. The things that God's going to have us doing is going to be so exciting that we won't even have time to think about what's behind us. God said all the pain, heartache, and tears will be done away with, and you will be rejoicing from sunup till sundown. Won't that be wonderful? I give you the best and have kept the best for last. All the enemy stole will be replaced, but in a greater measure than was stolen. And you find that in Joel 2:25 and Proverbs 6:30 and 31. God said, jump onto the bandwagon of joy and never allow the enemy to steal your joy ever again. In Nehemiah 8:10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I wrote down here, the root word of strength means to be strong, prevail, to make firm, or strengthen. The joy of the Lord is a constant gladness and cause to rejoice. It stems from an inner strengthening of our relationship with Him. And so it doesn't matter, just like this morning when I was so sick and having so much pain, it didn't matter I was going through that. I was singing. God put that song in my spirit, and I was singing and sung my way right through that mess. Amen. So, you know, the joy of the Lord is always there, and you just have to pull on it. All right, reproof is before your eyes. It stands as a barrier between you and the enemy. Now, reproof is used generally in the sense of rebuke. Malachi 3:11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So what God said, reproof is before your eyes. In other words, rebuke. He's going to rebuke the enemy. He said, reproof is before your eyes. It stands as a barrier between you and the enemy. God is standing. He's rebuking the enemy, and the enemy's not going to be able to touch you. Are you understanding this? This is really a good word from the Lord, so it is. Then God said, oh, what joy unspeakable and full of glory that will resonate throughout the land. The news media will be running to and fro, frantically trying to keep up with what is happening all across the land. They will be mesmerized by what is happening and will have no explanation for the current events. They will no longer try to minimize what is happening, for they do not understand what is happening. You will see many turn their hearts over to me, and they will admit they have been telling falsehoods about the reality of heaven. As this goes on, there will be a greater escalation of darkness, for the enemy knows his time is running out, and he does not want to lose his converts to the light. Oh, how the enemy will rage, but to no avail. The war in the heavenlies will increase, but the angelic hosts are already stationed to defeat the enemy at every turn. You can see that you have nothing to fear, for I have the path all mapped out before you. And he says, I never slumber nor sleep, so the enemy has no way to sneak in and destroy what I have foreordained for my people. Then he said, the Beatitudes will be brought forth and fulfilled just as I have planned. Now, I wrote down here, the Beatitudes are a radically bold statement of Jesus' intent to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. And isn't that what he's been telling us? Which will bring true peace and freedom to all who dare to follow him as his disciples. And so Matthew 5:1-12 is the Beatitudes. Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Do you hear that? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. These are all the blessings that is upon God's true children, on those who are truly following him with every fiber of their being. And God is asking each one of you to just read about the Beatitudes again. I was going to teach on it, but I thought I wouldn't have enough time, so I didn't bring it. But the Beatitudes are there to encourage the true believers. Years ago, one day God said, "Daughter, you're going from the blessing to the curse." And I walked under all these blessings, but when God spoke that to me, I told that to somebody. They said, "That can't be." But I started to walk under the curses, and none of these fit me any longer. I don't know why that happened, because I didn't do anything wrong. But I went through a season where I was cursed and not blessed. And then after a season, 10 years or so, then God said, "Now you're going back under the blessings." So whatever happened during that time of being cursed was awful to begin with, but it taught me a lot of things too. And, you know, I believe that was a testing period in my life where, okay, so I walked under all these blessings and I just thought, you know, life was just a bowl of cherries. I had no problems or nothing. And all of a sudden I went from blessing to curses and life was no longer a bowl of cherries. It was a dark, dreary life. And it wasn't worth living. But God brought me through all that and put me back in the blessings. So I'm asking you guys, stay under the blessings. You don't want to get out from underneath the blessings and walk under the curses. A lot of people say, "Well, that didn't happen." Well, I lived it, so I know it happened. All right. So God said, "Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stands before these tried and true ones." All right, what was the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that had multiple components, including the promise of multiple descendants, fame, divine protection, and that Abraham, through his descendants, would be a blessing to all people. So God said, Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stands before you guys, all right? And it said, and that Abraham through his descendants would be a blessing to all people. So you young kids, you're going to become a blessing to the people, even though I don't care what you're going through and I don't care what you're still going through. God is turning things around and you young kids are going to be a blessing. And really, truly, if you older people would really stop and think about it, you can understand why God is bringing these younger kids on the scene right now. I mean, because, you know, we're not getting any younger and somebody needs to carry the torch. And you young kids are the ones God's going to pass that torch, or already has passed that torch to. And the body of Christ needs to step aside and let the young kids do what God's calling them for to do. We need to stop staying in the way of what God is trying to do. And we need to be there, teach these young kids and be there for them. And when they make their mistakes, pick them up, and dust them off, you know, but keep the truth before their eyes. Never allow them to walk in a falsehood. It is time that the body of Christ gets lined up with God. You know, and I'm just not saying that the 20-year-olds, I'm saying the 30, 40, even the 50 years old is the younger people that God is using. And God is, I'm just hearing God say he's anointing the older people's eyes with eye salve so they can see what he's really doing in this dispensation of time. All right. So if I was any one of you younger, older people, I would say, "God, I need to see as you see. I need to understand what you're really doing with me or with the younger people. What are you really doing?" I read a prophetic word this morning where this man said he kept seeing the eagles, and then he saw this one eagle, and it had its eyes going to and fro. And he asked God, what is that representing? And he said, "That is me, and I'm looking throughout the land, pulling out those that I can use at this given time." So, you know, God, for years, God, I'd keep seeing this one eye, and I would say, "God, what is that?" And he said, I'm going throughout the land searching to and fro for those who have yielded their hearts to me 100%. And so right now what God is doing, and these were younger eagles, by the way, and this was a younger eagle that he saw. And so now God is doing the same thing with you younger kids. You know, you, I don't like say 20s, 30s, 40s, 8, 15, whatever. He's looking to and fro to see, all right, are you really yielding your heart to me? Are you really giving me your all? If you are, then I'm going to use you. He can't use you if you keep every other day backslide. You know, he gives everybody a space of time. Then after a bit, he said, okay, now that's enough. You can't backslide no more. And he's, you know, then he wants to bring you forth and use you. So if you've backslid and might have backslid today and might even backslide when you go home, you know, don't sit down. Do like David did every time he sinned. He stood up and he went on with God. You know, just please, whatever you do, don't sit down because you made a mistake. Everybody that's ever walked with God, look at the disciples. They all made mistakes. And what are you? You're a disciple of the Father. You're just not a piece of flesh. You're a disciple of God. And he has been grooming you to bring you forth to do a great mighty works. Have you written a book lately? Is this a yes or no? You have not, because God told me to ask you, where's your book? Where's your book? See, there's books inside of us. There's, you know, there's all kind of giftings inside of us. He's supposed to write books. All right, you're supposed to dance. You're doing a terrific job of dancing. You know, you're supposed to preach, right, Deanna? You know, whatever you kids, I don't remember everything else, but whatever he's called you to do, that's inside of you, and God's not going to take that away from you just because you slipped up. But there does come a time when God said, no more slipping. Just stand firm, tall and stand firm, all right? All right, so then we're talking about the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham lived in a land of promise. God gave the land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as an inheritance, and they were to obey God, to be a people set apart unto him, and remember that their job was and still is to care for the land that God gave them. What land has God given us? America. He's given us America, so we have to, what does it say, to care for the land that God gave us. We have to be the ones to pray, because we know what to do. We know what's right and what's wrong. We have to be the one to stand in the gap. We're the ones that have to fast. We're the ones that have to, you know, do communion and you know, pray over America. Barbara prays. She around the building all the time as she goes on the streets and prays. And see, she's praying over America. She's taking care of the land that God has given us. And because we live here means that we are the ones he expects to take care of this place, America. All right? You know, we have Naomi, who comes from New Jersey. I think that's wonderful. She comes here once a month. But while she's in New Jersey, she's still praying for America. She's covering the land there in New Jersey. But we had some people here came from Philadelphia the other night. You know, so they live in Philadelphia. They need to be praying for America there in Philadelphia. See, wherever we're located, and God has us located exactly where he wants us. He knows exactly what he's going to use us to do. He knows where we're needed the most. And you're like, everybody told me, the pastors told me, you need to move out of Delaware and you'll have a big church. And God said, I need you in Delaware because you won't quit. You'll stay the course. I need somebody to stay in Delaware to break the demonic hold that's over Delaware. And so what are we doing here now? All right, the glow is raising up and you're praying over this area, you know, Delaware. And we're here praying over Delaware. This is where we're supposed to stay. We're not supposed to move to Pennsylvania, New York, or New Jersey, or Philadelphia. We're supposed to stay right here. This is where we're needed. Do you guys understand that? And it doesn't matter, like, you were here, now you're going up north. It doesn't matter. You're still in this area. And Delaware needs to be one for Christ. It is close. It is hard. But God's going to rectify all that, and we're going to see Delaware bust wide open. Now, can somebody turn the air conditioner off? The people are starting to look for blankets. They're cold over here. Well, Alan has it. So you're supposed to take care of that. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were supposed to take care of the land God gave them. We're supposed to do the same thing. All right, now Abraham was the father of faith. He left his homeland in Mesopotamia and followed God's call to settle in Canaan, the promised land for his descendants. You hear that? I mean, I know somebody right now that God's calling them out of this, out of Maryland, to go to, I think, North Carolina. Because, you know, they're going to do something. God needs them in, they're the ones that God needs to use where they're in North Carolina, where they're going. All right, just like God told Abraham to move. And he went to Canaan, the promised land for his descendants. That's what God, there's where, that was the land that God promised him. God has promised us what? Delaware. And the lower Delmarva Peninsula area. That's what we're supposed to be winning for Christ, okay? Isaac was Abraham's son, and Jacob was Isaac's son. That's where you get to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abraham was a father of faith, Isaac was his son, and then Jacob was Isaac's son. Now, wasn't it Isaac where his son sold his birthright for a pot of beans, his other son? And so Isaac received the blessing, but Isaac was always supposed to receive the blessing. So whatever you're supposed to receive from God, somebody else can't steal from you. They can't. And somebody can't steal this lower area from us, because that's our assignment. And so whatever God's called you to do, somebody else cannot steal it, because that's your promise from God, all right? Every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stands before these tried and true ones, God speaking. Never again will they be cursed. Now, that's interesting. We're not going to be cursed ever again. For they have crossed over into the promised land, and I am fulfilling my commitment to them. The hopelessness that has been plaguing my beloved ones will be totally forgotten in this dispensation of time. For my glory will fill the temples of, and all things will become new. Their trust in me will supersede all else. Just now as I was reading that, God put it in my remembrance of how many young people have passed through these doors and rejected the call of God in their lives. They're still thinking about, do I really want to do it? They might have thought one day too long. And so, you know, I hope you girls don't do that. I hope you stay true to God and you fulfill your promise that he's given you. But we've had quite a few young people come through here, and God has called them to do great things, and they just walked away from God. You know, I guess it's hard for young people nowadays to really believe that there is a God who talks to you and has your life all mapped out before you. I guess. I was never taught that when I was younger, but I just followed God. You know, it's just something my grandmother told me right before she died, make sure you always go to church. So I've always been in church, but just became born again. But see, it wasn't until I became born again where everything got exciting. Before, just going to church, wasn't it? You know, yeah, all right, every Sunday you go to church. It's Sunday morning, no Sunday night or Wednesday, just Sunday morning you just go to church. You dress all up real fancy and sit there, you know, and listen to the preacher, and then you go home. But it's different nowadays. Church is exciting because now we understand what our position is in Christ. We are his disciples, and we are here to do is save souls and to win the whole cities to Christ. All right? Since Wade versus Roe, they're trying to get it back in, and since they're doing the things they're doing with the kids and with the men, why do you think all that mess is going to be happening in Florida? They've already called it a state of emergency and haven't even hit yet. Why do you think what's going on in California is going on? And then what over in Hawaii, they're making the people move because now they have wildfires there, brush fires or some sort of fires. And they're making them move right on out of the town altogether. Why do you think all this is happening? Sin is right. It's the sin of the people. See, it's the people sinning that causes God to do the destruction that he causes. Sodom and Gomorrah was totally destroyed because they were homosexuals in there. And so God just destroyed both cities. Years ago, about 20 years ago, when God was giving me all this stuff about the government and everything, he told me when he's through with America, you won't be able to recognize it. And he also told me he's going to destroy two cities in one night. So I don't know how this, I can see how it might happen with everything that's going on, but I don't know where it's going to happen. But see, that's not our focus. All right. Our focus is on saving the souls. Our focus is on doing the work that God has called us for to do. Yes, all this stuff is going on around about us. We don't stick our head in the sand about it. We have to understand what's going on, but we still have to be about the Father's business. How many people do you know that just because all the destruction is going on, they quit doing the Father's business? All right, God said they will go out into the highways and the byways and rejoice before the people and invite them to come into the Father's house. You'll find that in Luke 14:23. The word byways isn't really in any one of the books. It's called the hedges. But I read about that, and the people would walk on side roads, and that's why they call it the byways. So they will go out into the highways and the byways. So you can't be on the highway. You have to get out in the little hedges around here, too. Come into the Father's house. When this occurs, freedom shall ring throughout the land. See, when people get out there on the street, when this occurs, freedom shall ring throughout the land. Then God said, new dawnings will occur all around as the blessings flow from the heavenly throne room. Brand new things are going to be happening in your lives. All right, these girls are transitioning from high school, giggly high school, to giggly college. What they're going to find out is more work, you know, but they're going to enjoy it. So, but everything's going to be new. It's already new. And so, but then it's going to stay new. It's going to become new. It's not going to stop. You can't go back to high school. And that's the way with us. We can't go back to the old. God said, I've already transitioned you into the new. You have to stay in the new. You can't go backwards. All right. All right, 1 John 2:8 says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. See that the darkness in you has passed away and God's light is shining through you. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That's a scripture God gave us so many years ago. I can't remember what year it was. We have not really understood what that scripture is saying to us yet today, or we wouldn't be sitting here licking our wounds. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And God told me, daughter, the glory's always been here, but not in its fullness. And so, you know, God has a certain time for that to happen, and we haven't been doing anything wrong. God just been cleaning us up and bringing us forth, and when the right day comes, it'll happen. So don't think, well, you know, I must have done something wrong. You know, God's timing isn't here yet. Malachi 4:2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. And God said, what you have been praying for has come upon you, harvest time in the midst of my glory. Hear that. What you have been praying for has come upon you, harvest time in the midst of my glory. Then he said, intermediate fasting will bring greater revelation of the greater works that have come upon you. So that we're supposed to be fasting. Intermediate fasting means fast some here and some there, all right? God says, I have been calling my people to pray without ceasing. That cry has gone around the world, and my people are praying like never before. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. Because of the church spending time on their knees, my glory will increase, and my son's name will be known and glorified all across the land. And John 2:10 says, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good one until now. All right, what was happening here? Well, let me, like the first miracle Jesus performed at a wedding in Canaan, God is saving the best for the last, for all of us. So in John 2:10, Jesus was at a wedding. His mother was there. They ran out of wine. And his mother said, son, they need more wine. And he said, my time has not yet come. But then he looked at the men and he said, set these three, you know, put water in all these three containers. And he turned that water to wine. And then the owner said, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now. Like the first miracle Jesus performed at the wedding in Canaan, God is saving the best for last for all of us. You girls don't know what you've stepped into. I mean, they really don't. You have stepped into the greatest thing that God's ever going to do. And see, God's always told us you're preparing the way for those to come. They won't have to do any work. And that upset me. I said, you mean tell me I do all this work? And they just waltz on through. He said, that's the way it works. And so you young people that are just come into Christ, you know, any of you in here, you're just going to waltz, you're waltzing in there and just going to get all the blessings. And you know, it's going to be wonderful. But you know what? I'll be sitting here too and I'll be saying, look at them go. I'm so proud of them. I really do. I pray for you guys all the time. And I'm really proud of you guys. I really am. All right, we may be tempted to slow down and saunter into retirement, but if we are truly serving God, we should be looking for more opportunities to serve rather than withdraw from life. In John 2:11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So I put that down there because you know what, guys? When the glory drops and the miracles start, that people are going to want to come into the house of God. They're going to finally believe there is a Jesus and that he does love his people. But guess what has to happen? You guys must keep the course. You just can't sit down and say, that's just too much work for me. Do you know how many times I say, oh God, I just like to quit. You know, when you don't feel good, you don't feel like doing too much of anything. But there's always a goal before me now, is to see this great harvest being brought in. I just think that's going to be the most exciting time in our lives. All these people start rushing into the building. They're going to be drunk, you know, on wine, and they're going to be drunk on drugs, and they're going to be drunk on the wine of the Holy Spirit. We are the ones that are going to minister to them. Isn't that awesome? We're the one that's going to be standing here rejoicing. You know, it's been a long haul, Father, but look at what you have done. Look at all these lost souls being brought into the house of God. I just think it's wonderful. And you know, I'm hearing God say the time is ripe. It is time right now to bring the harvest in before we lose all the souls. Drug addicts don't want to be drug addicts. Alcoholics don't want to be alcoholics. People that's in perversion, they don't want to be in perversion. It's time. It's time for us to be about the Father's business. And it's time for us to settle in there and just work for God like we've never worked before. God is talking to me right now more than he's talked to me in, I know, a good 15 years. It's exciting, guys. You know, just when you're doing something, here comes God. Okay, well, let me hurry up and get another sheet of paper here. You know, and he just speaking volumes. But are we listening? Are your ears tuned into God? Are you girls too caught up in getting, you know, set from here to there that you don't hear God? You can go from here to there and still hear God is what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how busy you are. If your ears are tuned to God, and you're saying, speak to me anytime you want to, Lord, he'll do exactly that. And what you have to do, you have to drop what you're doing, run and get a paper, your tablet, your computer, whatever, and just start writing. That doesn't take that long to do that. That's how I got this sermon. I was doing something else, and God started talking. I said, oh, I got to hurry up and write that down, see what he has to say. And he gave me a whole sermon on that. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to have ears to hear? That's God's logo right now, ears to hear. Are you ready to hear the true voice of God? Are you ready to step into that magnificent glory that God wants you to step into? God says summer is soon passing and fall is right on its heels, and so is my glory. I just heard that. So are you guys ready? You guys hurry up and get settled in real quick, because you don't want to miss out on this. Amen? All right. So the altar's open this morning if you really want to get the very best that God has for you.